License to Lie, Exposing Corruption in the Department of Justice. That's the title of a new book. It's a bestseller, by the way, and it's by Sidney Powell, who's a former federal prosecutor. She's also a senior policy advisor for America First. Her website is SidneyPowell.com. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Sidney, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Jerry, for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Sure. Okay, so tell us about this book, License to Lie. And I understand that Rush Limbaugh endorsed it, and it's starting to get a lot of buzz.
Oh, yes. He broke Amazon, and he broke my website.
Good.
We thought we were prepared for a major activity, but it turns out neither Amazon nor SidneyPowell.com nor LicenseToLie.com were. He exploded both of them. The book tells the true story of prosecutorial misconduct by a core group of prosecutors that started actually back at the turn of the century in 2001, and then how they rose to power through their corruption, basically, to the highest halls of government. Most were appointed to extremely powerful positions by President Obama. One was appointed by President Bush to be acting assistant attorney general for the criminal division of the Department of Justice. And he micromanaged the prosecution of United States Senator Ted Stevens, which, of course, was corrupted, changed the balance of power in the Senate, and had to be thrown out because they'd made up crimes against him and hid evidence that showed he was innocent. But it was too late. Alaskans lost their beloved senator, and the Democrats got the 60th seat they needed for Obamacare. Meanwhile, the other prosecutors named in the book became Obama's longest-serving White House counsel, Catherine Rumler, who's now at Latham & Watkins and represents the Clinton Foundation, and Susan Rice and other people involved in the FISA abuses and the Mueller investigation, and Leslie Caldwell, who became Loretta Lynch's assistant attorney general for the criminal division of the DOJ, Lisa Monaco, who was the president's counterterrorism advisor. She also worked for Robert Mueller in the FBI, and none other than Andrew Weissman, who I would call the lead villain in the book, became Mueller's general counsel and deputy director of the FBI, and then now he's on Mueller's task force on the witch hunt against the president.
Hmm.
People have been running the country for the last decade.
Well, President Trump set out to drain the swamp, and obviously it's been tough going.
Yeah, it's going to be tougher going still. The swamp has a lot of power and obviously has been fighting back. I mean, I think the whole Mueller special counsel investigation was the insurance policy that Stroke and Page were talking about with Andrew McCabe. Mm. I mean, Mueller didn't come out of a big law firm within 24 hours of Comey's memos being leaked to the New York Times and published in that article, but that's what the timeline supposedly was. I think their plan went back a lot farther than that. And I think if once we get the Inspector General's report on the FISA abuses, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act abuses from DOJ and FBI, we'll have a lot more information, because those abuses go back at least as early as 2015. And frankly, I think they go back before that. But I bet the unmaskings and the surveillance abuses on Trump started the minute he ran, if not before.
Mm. Well, you know what's interesting about the Mueller investigation is that initially, I mean, even conservatives or moderately conservatives were out there saying things, oh, you know, Mueller is kind of like a Boy Scout, this is a good choice, you know, blah, 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 blah. Fast forward to today, and I don't know that many conservatives would say that.
No, well, I left him alone until he pulled in Andrew Weissman to be his right hand, because I know how bad Weissman is. I mean, I gave Mueller a little slack for bringing him back to the FBI, because a lot of the abuses weren't really known until I discovered evidence they had hidden against four Merrill Lynch executives for 6 years while they served up to a year in prison on an indictment that didn't even state a criminal offense. And of course, Weissman's almost, he and Leslie Caldwell destroyed Arthur Anderson and 85,000 jobs, all for nothing.
Oh.
The Supreme Court reversed it 9-0. I mean, 9-0, with Ginsburg and Sotomayor and everybody signing on to the ridiculous charges against Anderson. What they charged him with wasn't a crime, and they had taken all criminal intent out of the jury instructions. So, I mean, Mueller knows exactly what he's getting with Andrew Weissman, and obviously they are more birds of a feather than I ever really thought they were. And then I came to find out that Mueller actually had a hand in choosing Weissman for the Enron task force. So he and Comey and Weissman and Rosenstein and all those guys go back a long way.
You know, it's so interesting. I just on a personal note, during summer jobs from college, I worked at Arthur Andersen. And Arthur Andersen and Co., and that's what they always called it, Arthur Andersen and Co., was founded by a Danish-American. I'm not even sure if he was born in Denmark or whatever, but he worked in the Chicago area, and his whole shtick was integrity. The man himself,
right.
Arthur Andersen, and the company itself, it stood for integrity. And then when the Enron scandal broke years later, and this is, by the way, he founded this in the 1920s, something like that. And my dad used to work at Arthur Andersen at one point. He said, you know, the thing about Arthur Andersen is that in his day, he stood up to some corporation corruption and said, you know, I'm not going to cook the books for you. He lost some major clients, but he gained a lot in integrity. So it was really awful to see the whole company go under and, you know, basically based on misinformation at the end of the day.
Yes, it was a travesty of justice. Arthur Andersen used to be the gold standard for accounting firms.
Yeah.
And even David Duncan, the partner who Weissman bludgeoned into pleading guilty and then testifying for the government against the firm, they had to allow him to withdraw his guilty plea because what Weissman had forced him to pleading guilty to wasn't a crime.
It's almost like shakedowns, but mafia-type shakedowns, but at high levels of our government.
Exactly. They've taken mafia tactics, and they're using them against American citizens and companies they've got their own extortion racket. And what most people don't know is there's no oversight or any sort of accountability for federal prosecutors. They have absolute immunity from civil suit, and nobody does anything to them in the Department of Justice or otherwise. I think maybe one prosecutor in the entire history of our country was ever prosecuted for anything. Mm. But they suborn perjury, they make up crimes, they send innocent people to prison, and nothing happens.
Well, you know, what's sad, too, is that not just Arthur Andersen, obviously, that's in total tatters, but the FBI has lost a lot of prestige in the last couple of years because of a few bad apples. But they're well-placed bad apples.
They're very well-placed bad apples, and I certainly know most of the agents are outstanding and do great work. But the problem does extend out to field offices. I've seen several examples of it recently and have been told of other examples by people I hold in high regard, and they have the experience to know what they're talking about. It's broader and wider than just the swamp in D.C. There are too many people acting for political motives and engaging in political targeting that just simply shouldn't happen. A prosecutor is supposed to prosecute crimes, not people.
Well, many Americans are wondering these days, can we trust our government?
No, we can't. And it's going to take a while of rooting them out before we can. And we need the actual information. I can't wait for these documents to be declassified. I wish the president would go ahead and declassify virtually everything that doesn't really affect national security. Because so far, all the FBI and the DOJ have redacted are things that made them look bad. But that's what we need to know. Until the public sees the truth for themselves, nobody's going to trust any of it. Mm. And they shouldn't. Ooh. And juries need to start, you know, exercising their right to say no to convictions if they see and hear anything wrong in the courtroom, because people are being railroaded.
When Peter Strzok, who was at the center of a lot of this, when he was testifying before Congress recently, one of the descriptions used for him a lot was that he was smug, that he was smirking, almost as if he was above all this.
Oh, yes. He looks at every other human being that's not part of his elite power group with disdain. I mean, you can just read a few of the text messages alone to see what they all thought of Trump supporters. And regular Americans that I call the engine of this country that do all the work and make things run. Mm-hmm. I mean, he can't stand any of us. He thinks he's above everybody and everything. He's Comey and McCabe 2.0.
Mm.
They're just narcissistic, arrogant, egomaniacs.
Wow. Do you think it's almost like a coup? It's almost as if, okay, Trump's not going to win, and then Trump wins, and then it's like, oh, wow, we can't live with the results of that, so therefore we're going to go ahead and have to, you know, investigate him on this and that and the other.
No, exactly. I think it was a conspiracy, basically a conspiracy to commit sedition. They were trying to overthrow the president, and they still are.
How do you think this is all going to end up? I mean, I'm not asking you to predict the future, but go ahead.
Right. I hope it ends up with a lot of firings. I'm appalled that Stroke is still drawing a government paycheck. Absolutely appalled. And I hope it ends up with a second special counsel that redoes the Hillary Clinton email investigation. I've got articles on the Daily Caller that everybody needs to read about Anthony Weiner's laptop, because the New York agent said it contained the entire file of all Clinton emails from 2006 on, and Stroke buried that, and the FBI didn't even get a search warrant for the most important emails, despite General Counsel James Baker strongly urging them to do so. That was shut down by Stroke and somebody in the DOJ. They even had the golden emails, as Comey called them, the BlackBerry backups that they were supposedly looking for everywhere, and it was 675,000 emails. The FBI claimed to have reviewed them all. That is a bald-faced lie, because they didn't even get a warrant for the most important ones.
Yeah.
We need a second special counsel to investigate all of it. Clinton, the FBI, DOJ cover-up, and the garbage that's going on now.
It's funny when you look at all this in light of the fact that, Hillary Clinton, all the major actors, they're all, you know, free. And then meanwhile, you look at somebody like Michael Flynn, who supposedly lied in one of the interviews. This man is facing bankruptcy potentially. It seems very topsy-turvy.
Oh, I go berserk over the Flynn and Manafort prosecutions. Manafort, they just targeted, and they're doing everything they can to break him from freezing all of his assets and his children's assets so he can't pay for his defense, to putting him in solitary confinement and moving him to an even worse prison. They're just literally trying to break him until he does and says whatever it is they want him to say. That is absolutely appalling. They're prosecuting him on two different fronts. And then General Flynn, God bless him. I mean, we already know he didn't lie to the agents. Comey and McCabe both testified in front of Congress that the agents believed Flynn and thought he was telling the truth. There's no evidence whatsoever that he lied, and the FBI was holding transcripts of his telephone conferences when they interviewed him, so it was nothing in the world but a setup, started by Sally Yates and the DOJ with their efforts to get him fired.
Hillary blamed Comey for her losing because of his late October announcement that, we were going to investigate her again. And then remember, he, after just a few days, where they wouldn't have had enough time to read all those emails, humanly possibly, you know, to read them all, he said, oh, yeah, she's fine. Your comments on that? We have about a minute to go.
Well, that is patently false. Comey told Congress about the existence of some emails in a very vague letter late in October, only because the New York agents and the New York Police Department were threatening to out him. They had been sitting, Stroke and the others had been sitting on the emails in Anthony Weiner's laptop for a month, and still they delayed in getting a search warrant and getting it reviewed and all of that. But no, they didn't review the important emails at all. And he just went in to clear her. That's all he did. He set it up. He was trying to save his own career.
Mm-hmm.
And then by exposing it, and then always intended to clear her very quickly.
Right. All right. Well, your book is fascinating. License to Lie, Exposing Corruption in the Department of Justice. SidneyPowell.com. Sidney is spelled S-I-D-N-E-Y. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. And follow me on Twitter at Sidney Powell, the number one.
Okay. Thank you now. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Sure. Bye-bye.